I can print out a family tree chart for you later if you'd like.
Evan began his mindless guffawing, but Rishi cut him off, speaking loudly and clearly.
Let me tell you something. I'll never forget last summer when I visited my family's ancestral home in Gujarat. Everyone was staring at him. But if Rishi felt the heat of their gazes, he didn't show it.
It was amazing, he said, beaming at them all, as if he were totally clueless that they'd find this anything but amazing.
All of those decades, over a century of history, when you stood on the courtyard in the rain, you felt like the gods were singing in the heavens.
Celia looked confused, like she sensed a strange undercurrent, but didn't know what it was or how it had come to be.
Hari snorted, but he didn't say anything. He looked a little embarrassed now. All the Aberzombies did, actually, Dimple noticed. Like, they didn't know what to do with someone who was so obviously at home with his uncoolness. Someone who had the audacity to feel like he was the cool one when he so obviously wasn't.
Dimple cleared her throat. That's really awesome. She forced herself to speak up, firmly and clearly. Smiling at Rishi, she said, I bet that's a more meaningful vacation than going to Bermuda and sleeping with a bartender whose name you can't remember. She darted a glance at Hari and almost laughed out loud at his expression. He looked like he was choking on a fishbone. The waiter came by with their orders then, and everyone's attention turned to food. Chapter 16. Dimple.
So, just based on first-day impressions, who do you guys think is going to win InsomniaCon? Celia asked between bites of her $42 mac and cheese.
Dimple couldn't help calculating the value of each bite. There goes $2. And another two. She didn't even properly chew up that $2.
Like it's even a question, Hari said. It's either going to be Evan's team or mine.
Dimple tried not to roll her eyes at that. Didn't a partnership mean it wasn't just either of their teams? I think Jose Alvarez and Tim Wheaton have a good chance, she said, slurping up a bit of her tomato basil soup. For $25, it tasted like tomato paste diluted in water. They had spreadsheets of what they were going to do on what days of the week and everything. Jose had already even written a script for some stuff he wanted the computer to do at night while they slept.
She'd never admit it,
but Dimple felt a pang of jealousy at that kind of dedicated foreplanning. Why hadn't she thought of it?
Yeah, they've probably been planning for this since freshman year of high school, Rishi laughed. My money's on Marcus Whitman and Simon Terrence. After Dimple and me, of course.
They're solid, Dimple agreed. But they lack that single-minded dedication that Jose and Tim have.
They, like, breathe this stuff.
Mm-hmm, Celia said.
I even heard they paid off their roommate so they could move in together to work on this stuff 24/7.
Deals like those were pretty common within InsomniaCon, and the organizers usually just looked the other way, probably because it was too hard to control.
I wouldn't mind moving in with Dimple,
Rishi said, laughing. And everyone whipped their heads around to look at him. And her. Dimple felt herself turning bright red.
What?
She bit out. The tips of his ears flamed and his face slackened as he realized what he'd just said.
I meant because we could really kick everyone's butts. If we had more time like that. If we were living together.
Rishi sighed when he saw that she wasn't convinced.
Never mind.
Celia giggled.
That is so cute.
Yeah. Evan smiled a strangely plastic smile.
So cute.
Before it could get any more awkward, the waiter came forward.
Would anyone like dessert?
Dimple groaned inwardly. Why couldn't they just give them their checks? Now she'd have to pretend she was all filled up on tomato water while everyone else ordered $50 desserts and ate them around her.
Celia looked at her. The Nutella crepes are supposed to be good. Split one with me.
The Nutella crepes. Those were $28. Half of that was $14, which meant her bill would be just about $40 plus tip. Dang it. She only had a 20, so she'd have to put the rest on the credit card. Would it be weird to pay half in cash and half on a card in a place like this?
Yes, it would. She'd have to put it all on the card and find a way to explain it to Mama and Papa later.
Excuse me, sir, Rishi asked the waiter, who turned to him beaming. Can you tell me how much the Nutella crepes are?
He raised his eyebrows.
I want to make sure I'm not exceeding my budget here.
What? Why was he saying that?
Mr. Gucci obviously didn't have a budget. He was doing this for her benefit, wasn't he?
The waiter nodded and smiled.
An understandable concern, sir. But not to worry. An anonymous donor has very generously paid for all of your meals already. To include desserts.
Dimple looked up sharply.
What? Who was it?
The waiter held up his perfectly manicured hands.
Now, that wouldn't make it very anonymous, would it, miss? The donor asked not to be identified, but please, order whatever you choose.
Well, that is really cool of this donor person, Rishi said.
Dimple glanced at him suspiciously, but he was studying the dessert menu with a renewed interest. The others looked dumbfounded.
We can afford to pay our own bill, Hari said finally, sounding mortally offended.
Indeed, sir, the waiter said. The donor was simply attempting to do something good, I think. One of those paid-forward things.
Isabel was pink as she said,
Yeah, or like it was a guy and he wanted to pay my bill and didn't know how to do that without paying for everyone's.
She looked at the waiter.
Did he leave a number?
The waiter frowned.
No, miss. The donor left nothing except money. Do you wish to order a dessert?
Miffed, Isabel blew out her breath.
Well,
after a pause, she said grudgingly,
Yes. I suppose I'll have a caramel brownie.
The rest of the dinner wasn't very eventful. Everyone mainly talked about the upcoming week, how they were going to position themselves going into InsomniaCon proper, and how difficult it was going to be. Some people, they'd heard rumors, even brought caffeine pills to stay up through the night.
Celia shuddered.
I couldn't do that. Give me a Red Bull any day of the week.
Then she paused and looked around.
Seriously, any day of the week, I'm willing.
Everyone laughed, even Dimple, who laughed with a hysterical edge to her voice because she was just so glad this thing was winding down. She wanted nothing more than to go back to the dorm, take a scalding hot shower, and wash her hair. There was something about washing out her hair that calmed her. Dimple and Rishi finished their desserts at the same time, and Rishi immediately threw down his napkin and stood.
Well, I'm off.
Dimple tried not to laugh. He wasn't even pretending like he wanted to suffer their company a moment longer than he absolutely had to. With a hand on the back of her chair, he said,
Are you coming? Or would you like to stay a bit longer?
Dimple tossed her napkin on the table and pushed her chair back. Oh, no. I'm definitely done. She smiled at Celia. I'll see you later. And then they walked toward the doors, leaving a heavy silence behind them. Outside, the evening had turned even colder. The stars were erased by the fog, and Dimple felt a pang. That was one thing she loved about her backyard in Suburbia. She could always make out at least a few stars.
So, Rishi said, buttoning up his jacket. That was interesting, no?
Dimple snorted but remained silent, cinching her hood tight around her head.
"Come on, Dimple Shah," he said, gently hitting her shoulder with his. "What did you really think?"
"Were you the donor?" she asked quietly. There was an infinitesimal pause, just one tiny breath. Then,
"You must think I'm way more generous than I am. Did you see how much those Aberzombie boys ate? And they didn't even have brains on the menu."
"Har har," Dimple said, thinking, "You didn't answer my question." She wondered if it should bother her more, if she should challenge him. But she realized even if the donor had been him, she was just grateful that Mama and Papa wouldn't be footing the bill. She switched tack. "Okay, so answer me this, then. Do you really believe all of what you said? About your family's ancestral home in Gujarat? Seeing all the history? Or was that all just for their benefit?" She rubbed her arms against the chill, and Rishi, seemingly unthinkingly, scooted closer so they were touching arms. She'd protest, but the boy put off an insane amount of body heat, even through layers of fabric.
"You ask a lot of questions, don't you?"
Dimple laughed.
"What?"
She shook her head. "It's just my mom. She says the same thing. No one likes a nosy girl, Dimple. You'll never land a boy with that mouth of yours."
"Huh."
Rishi cocked his head to the side and studied her face as she watched him in confusion. It was sort of hard to do while they walked, but they managed somehow.
"I don't know. I think your mouth is perfect, the way it is."
Chapter 17. Dimple. The air between them felt suddenly charged somehow. Heat rushed to Dimple's cheeks. Suddenly she wasn't so cold anymore, and she moved away from Rishi. His face went blank for a second, and then mortification overcame everything. Even his eyebrows looked embarrassed somehow. Dimple felt a little bad for him, but not that bad, because he was the one who'd said it.
I meant your questions.
Dimple waved her hand, keeping her eyes steadfastly on the sidewalk. "Anyway, answer my question."
"Right."
He rubbed the back of his neck, which she found strangely endearing.
"Yeah, I do. I totally believe that."
"For real?" She raised an eyebrow at him. He chuckled.
"For real? When you think about it, our families are back in India about 8,000 miles away, and they're still so intricately connected to us. We have their names, their rituals, their traditions, their dreams sit behind our eyelids. I think it's beautiful."
Dimple was silent as they rounded the corner to the stoplight. "I don't know. I guess I think it's sort of stifling. All those rules. You can't date people who aren't Indian. You can't date, period, until you're 30. She gave him a look and said, "Unless, of course, your parents are trying to set you up with a marriage partner. Girls can't be interested in a career more than they're interested in marriage. Wear makeup, grow your hair out." When the walk sign beeped, they began to cross. Rishi laughed.
"That does sound annoying. I guess I haven't been through those rules, except for the first and second. But the thing is, those are tangential things. I'm talking about the big picture. The idea that we're connected by this thread to people who live in the place where we came from, where our parents came from. We have a blueprint for our lives. I think that makes it all seem comforting somehow. Safe."
He pushed a hand through his floppy hair before stuffing it into his pocket, like he was embarrassed for all he'd said.
"I think having a blueprint makes life boring. Maybe I don't want to get married or have kids or any of that. Maybe I just want a career, and that's all."
Rishi looked at her, frank and open. And that doesn't sound lonely to you?
Dimple paused, considering it. She'd never thought of it that way. With her relentless pursuit of freedom, she'd never actually stopped to think about what the day-to-day of it might be like. Eventually, she shook her head. When you've had a mother who does a great impersonation of a helicopter, any kind of solitude sounds like heaven. But saying it made her think of Mama, at home. If Dimple were home, Mama would be bustling around, cleaning the kitchen, while Dimple sat at the counter nearby and drank her tea. They'd probably be bickering about something inconsequential. Dimple would be considering taping Mama's mouth shut. Mama would probably be considering putting Dimple up for adoption. But they'd be together. It was their ritual, sort of. Dimple wondered what Mama was up to right now. She imagined her sitting in the living room, alone, doing her crossword puzzle, or watching the Hindi channel by herself. And it made her sad. It made her almost miss home. Almost.
I guess we just look at it differently, Rishi said. They passed a man ensconced in fog and playing the guitar. Rishi tossed in what looked like a $20 note. The man tipped his head at them and kept playing, something that sounded like the saddest love song ever.
Why aren't you like them? Dimple asked.
Huh?
The Aberzombies. Why aren't you more like them?
Rishi shrugged.
I don't know.
He jammed his hands in his pockets.
I guess I never really got why the kids in my private school thought they were such hot stuff. I mean, it's our parents who did all the hard work. We were just born into it. It's like being proud that you're tall or have thick hair or perfectly spaced eyes. Absurd.
Dimple laughed a little. It's neat that you were able to see that, though. So many people don't.
Obviously.
Rishi grunted in response. Softly, he said.
I'm sorry if I overstepped in there. I just got really frustrated that they were talking to you like that. They're just such little D-bags, you know?
I guess. Dimple played with the zipper on her hoodie.
Don't you care that you're making it worse? You're not smoothing things over with them. They're probably going to be even bigger jerks to us in class now.
Rishi ran his hands across the leaves of some bush with brilliant blue-violet flowers as they walked, releasing that green plant smell.
I think they're going to be like that no matter what. They'll find a reason. If you smooth things over, it'll be because they think you're weak. If you don't, it'll be because their egos are hurt. I like to just confront it head-on.
Dimple looked at him sidelong.
What?
He asked.
Nothing.
A curl that hadn't been contained by her hood blew into her eyes and she pushed it away.
You surprise me, that's all. I would have pegged you for a much more go-with-the-flow kind of personality.
I am, Rishi said.
Mostly.
But not when it comes to people who try to step all over things that are too important.
Fair enough.
Dimple would never admit it, but she felt a grudging admiration for his kind of no-BS bravery. They wound their way around the green to the dorms. Rishi held the lobby door open and she chuckled.
What?
He asked, looking self-conscious.
You're so chivalrous. Is that your Desi breeding or your millionaire breeding?
He rolled his eyes.
It's my Patel breeding. We Patel boys are very well-behaved, you know. Ma wouldn't have it any other way.
So you have a brother? Dimple asked, as they strode across the chilly lobby and showed their IDs to the residence hall desk assistant, who barely looked up from the text she was furiously tapping on her phone. Dimple hadn't really thought about Rishi having siblings. Older or younger, is he a lot like you?
She saw Rishi suppressing a smile and said, "Sorry, too many questions."
She jabbed at the elevator button, knowing she should feel embarrassed, but somehow, strangely with Rishi, she didn't.
Not at all.
It sounded like he meant it. Leaning against the wall, he crossed his arms and said, "My brother Ashish is 16. You couldn't find two blood relatives more different than we are. Sometimes I think Ashish wishes he'd been born into another family. He's like a different species than the rest of us." Dimple pulled a face. "Ashish and I would probably have a lot in common then." The elevator doors dinged open and a few girls got out, talking animatedly about some poetry reading they were going to for their summer literature program. Rishi and Dimple were the only ones going up. As the doors slid closed, enveloping them in solitude in that tiny metal chamber, Dimple's mind somehow kept reverting back to that moment in the antique store. When she'd tried to take the camera, and they'd ended up so close together. The way the air had shifted. She tried to think about more important things, like the upcoming InsomniaCon prep they had to do in the morning, but her mind stubbornly kept interjecting that scene, playing over and over the memory of her pulse quickening, the way Rishi's smile had slowly faded.
Rishi. He watched her surreptitiously. She was lost in thought, and the emotions on her face were sort of amusing. There was something dreamy, and then a flash of irritation, and then more dreaminess before irritation erased it again. His lips twitched. He wondered what she was thinking about. Rishi cleared his throat. "Hey, it's, only 9:30. We could work on a little bit of the prep if you want. Or, you know, do it tomorrow morning, too, if you have other stuff going on." He didn't want this night to be over. Which was ridiculous because he was sure there were about 1,000 other nights they could both name that would probably have ranked much higher than this one, thanks to the Aberzombies. Dimple glanced at him, her lips parting a bit, like he'd caught her out at something. Now he really wanted to know what she'd been thinking.
No, yeah, that sounds good. I'm just going to go take a shower and change into some comfier clothes. I can meet you at your room if you want. I'm not sure I'm ready to face Celia when she gets home."
He grinned, his heart singing that she'd said yes.
"To a study session, Patel,"
he reminded himself. To her, he said,
"Yeah, that's cool. I imagine I'm not her favorite person right now anyway, so she probably wouldn't be too thrilled to see me in your room."
The doors pinged open on the fourth floor. Stepping out, he put one hand against the slot so they wouldn't close.
"So, say 10:15-ish?"
She nodded and smiled.
"Works for me."
And Rishi, gods help him, thought, "I could look at that smile every day and never get tired of it."
Chapter 18. Dimple. Back in her room, Dimple loaded up her shower caddy and took a quicker shower than she strictly wanted to. She didn't want to be there when Celia got back. She hadn't fully processed all that had happened at Elm, and she needed some time to do that. When Celia asked her why she and Rishi had been so hostile to her friends, she wanted to have a proper response. Dimple was excellent at arguing with Mama, but when it came to confrontations with other people, her backbone somehow became jelly-like. One way to fix it, she'd learned, was to take her time thinking of responses to various arguments. "Sorry, Celia, but those Aberzombies can suck it." "Nah, too confrontational without any constructive stuff in there." "I'm sorry you thought I was unfriendly, but you didn't see all the stuff they said before you got there." "Too telling Mommy on you." Sighing, Dimple shampooed her curls, taking care to massage her scalp. It was something that could consistently lower her blood pressure and erase the crap out of any day. If she had the money, she'd just go sit in a salon and have them shampoo her hair for a full day. As the smell of coconuts and jasmine filled the shower stall, She thought about the anonymous donor who'd paid for the meal. She was 95% sure it was Rishi, though he'd never admitted it. He was different from what she'd expected. Rich, but not showy about it. Goofy and easygoing, but with a backbone. Utterly sure of himself in a really comfortable way. There was something about people who were that secure. They made you feel better about yourself, like they accepted you for everything you were, imperfections and all. Dimple rinsed her hair out and got out of the shower, making her way back to the room in her gray terry cloth robe. She opened the dresser drawer and looked at her pajamas. All she'd brought were some ratty old t-shirts and sweatpants she'd had since freshman year of high school. For just a beat, she felt intensely self-conscious and considered going through Celia's drawer for something more girly. But then the rest of her brain caught up to her, and annoyance replaced self-consciousness. Seriously? Rolling her eyes at herself, she threw on her silly boys coding is for girls t-shirt and plain gray fleece pants. They'd lost their drawstring eons ago and were baggy in all the wrong places, but whatever. Dimple was finger-combing her hair when her phone rang. Frowning, she walked over, hoping Rishi wasn't canceling, but her parents' faces flashed on the screen. She grabbed the phone and slid to answer. Papa? Dimple? She straightened up, gearing for an argument. Mama! Papa had probably told her about their last conversation. That she and Rishi Patel weren't going to happen. Kesi Ho? I miss you, Bertie. I talked to you this morning, Dimple said, but she knew what Mama meant. They'd barely talked, and Dimple had been too angry to have a real conversation. Dimple sank down on her bed, a lump forming in her throat. Mama's voice was soft, defenseless, like she'd never heard it. It reminded her of being sick when she was little, how Mama used to come sit on the edge of her bed, smooth her hair back off her feverish forehead, and give her milk with turmeric in it. Haldi dood. Mama's magic fix for every situation. It usually worked. Dimple would kill for some right now. I miss you too, Mama, she said thickly. Did you eat dinner already? Ha! If only you knew. Yeah, I ate dinner. At a new restaurant, Elm. Kaisa tha? You liked? Dimple blinked. No, I hated, she wanted to say. The people sucked. My roommate has new zombie friends, and they all think I'm a freak. But at least I didn't have to pay. Swallowing, she said. It was okay, I guess. Nothing like your prawns curry. Mama laughed, obviously pleased. There is no cooking like home cooking. Dimple snuffled a laugh. That was one of Mama's mantras. Anytime Dimple kvetched about wanting to order a pepperoni pizza because she was tired of eating something Mama was cooking, Mama would bust out with that. Mama, did Papa tell you about Rishi? She heard Mama's deep breath. Huh? A long silence followed. Dimple imagined little crystals of disapproval forming along the phone line. I know you're not happy, but honestly, I just... Bertie. Dimple stopped. It's okay. No problem. But she didn't sound convinced. There was something guarded about Mama's voice. It's not that I don't like him, Dimple said. He's nice. I need some time, Mama, to be myself, to find out what I want from life. Another silence as Mama processed this. Okay. From the slow, heavy way she said it, Dimple knew what a Herculean effort it must have taken. Okay? Really? Shut up, Dimple, she told herself. If the woman says okay, just run with it. Thanks, Mama. She knew Mama didn't understand what time had to do with anything. In her eyes, women went to college just to make themselves more marketable to guys. For her to say that just showed how much she was willing to take into account the changing times. And her strange daughter. Tell me, Dimple, are you remembering to wear makeup to class? Dimple sighed and flopped backwards as she was lying flat on the bed. And now that they were done with that, apparently it was on to more important topics. No. I didn't even bring any makeup with me, Mama. What? What about the contacts? Mama, I'm here to learn. You can't learn with lipstick? You can't read with contacts? What, Dimple? What, Dimple? The Indian way of saying, get your life together, Dimple. Dimple sat up. Okay, I have to go now. Beauty sleep time, na? Mama said. You have Pond's cold cream? Dimple paused, confused. Hi, Ram. I bought from Walmart for you, na. Dimple, Pond's will make your skin soft. Just put it on at night and... Oh, yeah, I remember. I already did that. She yawned showily. Okay, okay. Good night, Betty. Papa already went to sleep, but I'll tell him tomorrow you send your regards. Thanks, Mama. Sleep tight. You also, Betty.
Chapter 19. Rishi. At 10:19, Rishi walked around the minuscule space once again, making sure everything was in order. The thought of Dimple, here, made him feel strangely ebullient, like he was filled with champagne bubbles. Obviously he knew nothing was going to happen. He wouldn't try anything anyway, not when he knew how she felt. It was his damn fool heart. Ever optimistic, always looking for a sliver of sunshine in a sky clotted with thunderclouds. He shook his head and fluffed his pillow. At 10:20, Rishi laid out a bowl full of sweet and sour, khatta meetha, some badam that Ma had packed for him, and water. He wiped the screen of his laptop with his shirt sleeve, then had to change his shirt because the sleeve turned gray from the dust. At 10:22, Rishi seriously began to worry that Dimple wouldn't come. Should he text her? Nah, that would be too needy. If she wasn't going to show up, then he'd have to give her some space.
But who decides to just not show up?
He thought in annoyance.
At least she should text him, or tape a note to his door.
He glanced at his door. Maybe there was a note taped to the other side. At 10:23, as he was walking across the room to check for the note, there was a knock. He exhaled. She stood on the other side, hair somewhat damp, smiling.
Hey, sorry I'm late. My mom called.
Wow, she smelled good.
Rishi made a concentrated effort not to inhale deeply.
No problem.
He held the door open and spread his arm out.
Come on in.
Dimple walked in, her eyes sweeping across his room.
You don't have a roommate? How'd you swing that?
He shrugged and rubbed the back of his neck.
My parents insisted on springing for a private suite.
She looked at him, smirking. But when he raised his eyebrows in question, she just looked away, resuming her inspection of his dresser top, his bed, his desk.
Oh, Katamita! It's my favorite!
He grinned. This fact made him irrationally happy.
Awesome! Help yourself!
Did you bring it with you, or did you find an Indian grocer?
She asked, stuffing a small fistful of the peanut and rice flake mixture in her mouth.
My mother packed it for me. But that's a good idea. We should find an Indian grocer. Stock up on some of our favorite snacks to energize us while we write.
Dimple nodded.
Good idea. We should find an Asian grocer, too. I need some pocky sticks. Those are like my go-to snacks during finals.
Apparently seeing Rishi's confused face, she gasped and held a hand to her chest.
Do you not know what pocky sticks are?
He shook his head.
Sorry, no idea.
We have to remedy that.
She grabbed a few badam and tossed them into her mouth, playfully side-eyeing him as she chewed on the almonds. Rishi felt his heart lift. She seemed happier than before,
like she'd managed to wash off the crap laid on her by the Aberzombies over dinner. Good. They weren't worth a millisecond of her time. Dimple looked around for a second, and then awkwardly perched on the edge of his bed, toward the foot, close to his desk.
Is it okay if I, sit here?
He felt his cheeks heating. Yeah, sure. I'll sit here. He plonked himself down on the cheap wooden chair at the desk. In this tiny room, it was about as far away as if he'd sat right next to her on the bed, but the distinction between chair and bed somehow felt safer, less scandalous. So, Rishi moved a finger across his trackpad so his laptop would come to life. I know you told me briefly already what your idea is, and we decided to get into more details later. Where do you want to start?
I was thinking we should approach this top-down. Let's think about the high-level functions we want. What's the heart and soul of the app? And then we can drill down from there. What do you think?
Sounds good to me. Rishi opened up a Word document. I'll take notes as we talk.
Okay, great.
Dimple hopped off the bed and began pacing, her t-shirt and pants hanging off her like she was wearing her big brother's clothes. Rishi felt a tug of affection that he attempted to cover by scratching the back of his neck and looking away.
Let's see. So I want to make sure that people know this is a serious product, you know? Like, it can be life-saving, but that it's also fun. Taking care of your health, taking your medication, or checking your sugar levels or whatever doesn't have to be a drag. And that's always the main thing for Papa. He feels like managing diabetes is too heavy. I think he'd rather not think about it because of that. So if people could see the lighter side of it, maybe it'd help make it a little less scary.
Okay, Rishi nodded and typed up the gist of what Dimple was saying. So we want to convey health care with a twist.
Exactly. Serious but fun. It works, but it's not scary to use. It makes you want to use it. You get points the more you track. And then at the end of like 5 sessions, you get to go to the store where you can buy stuff.
Right. Rishi tapped a pencil against his chin. But maybe we could tap into that compulsion loop you talked about a little more. So people can go to the store if they keep tracking the times they successfully take their meds or whatever it is, right? Dimple paused in her pacing and nodded. But what about if they don't track? What's the impetus for them to begin tracking regularly in the first place?
I guess just the points?
Dimple shrugged, frowning slightly.
But I see what you're saying. That's not a big enough push, is it? Not if they're already sort of iffy about tracking that kind of thing.
Right. It should be our job to make it an addictive game, to make it seem not at all threatening, so they actually want to open the app. Dimple paused, thinking, her eyes bright and sparking as she worked. Rishi watched openly, and perhaps a little too closely, intrigued.
Ooh!
She looked up at him, and he looked away, flushing, but she didn't seem to notice, caught up as she was in her idea.
Okay, what about if it's like something advancing on them? Like, the reward is that you get to stave off some big, bad boss guy coming for you the more you track, and if you get lazy or careless, you get killed.
Rishi grinned. Yes. He grabbed a scrap piece of paper and a pencil off his desk and began to sketch. What about something like this? He felt Dimple standing behind him, observing. Instead of making him nervous, like he usually felt when Ashish or Ma tried to watch him, he felt more confident. The more he sketched, the closer she leaned in, seemingly mesmerized, until she finally knelt down to be closer, the tips of her curls brushing his arm. Rishi forced himself to concentrate on his sketch, to ignore the tingling heat that was running up and down his arm. There was nothing but this sketch. Focus, Patel.
Dimple. Dimple let out a breath. Wow. Rishi moved his arm out of her way, shifting uncomfortably, and she realized she'd just breathed on him and probably grossed him out. Oh, sorry. She moved away a bit, but not so far that she couldn't see what was going on.
This was fantastic. Rishi had drawn a horde of about 7 zombies, all nuanced and gross in the goofiest way. Some of their eyeballs bulged out, while others were missing teeth or had wavy lines of bad smell coming off them. Others oozed slime from between their toes. They were all advancing on a tiny circular fox with huge eyes and a bushy tail curled around itself. "See?" Rishi said. "So maybe there's this huge gang of roving zombies, and your user gets to pick an avatar, and the zombies are going to eat the fox if they don't track fast enough or regularly enough, you know? Kind of like Plants vs. Zombies, but with more tracking action." He turned to look at her. "What do you think?" Dimple nodded sagely, her heart thumping in her chest. This was good. This was very, very good. She could already see that. "I do have one serious concern." Rishi waited for her to continue, a small wrinkle between his brows. "Can we make them aliens instead of zombies? Zombies are so overdone."
"Aliens?" Rishi rolled his eyes.
"You totally don't have my artistic vision." Dimple punched him in the ribs, lighter than she wanted to, but he still winced. "Ow! You know, most girls just slap guys playfully on the arm or something. They don't actually hurt them." "Well, maybe you need to expand your idea of how girls behave," Dimple replied, grinning. Rishi laughed. "Fair enough. And yes, I can totally do aliens, since they seem so important to you."
"Awesome! Then we're totally gonna kick Insomniacon's butt."
They high-fived, and Dimple grabbed the sheet of paper and sat on the bed to look at it. "You're an amazing artist. Will you do the preliminary artwork for the concept?" He nodded.
"Of course. I don't want anyone else coming in and stealing my vision, you know."
Dimple snorted.
"Totally."
"By the way, do you have any samples of your comics, like your old work or anything?" Rishi immediately began to click around on his laptop screen as if he'd discovered something of immense importance that had to be done right away.
No, nothing like that."
Interesting, Dimple thought. "I think Rishi Patel is lying." She flipped over the paper he'd drawn the zombies on. It was a flyer of some kind. "Oh, cool. Little Comic-Con. Are you going to this?"
Rishi rubbed the back of his neck. "I don't know. It was just a thing I picked up on impulse."
"The 13th, from 6 to 10, Dimple read. "Hey, that's this weekend." She looked up at him. "We can go together. I mean, if you want to, since you were nice enough to come to the Aberzombie dinner with me."
Rishi. Had Dimple Shah just asked him out on a date?
Chapter 20. Dimple.
"I mean, not like a date or anything," Dimple rushed to put in. And then felt like a total jerk because his face fell, just the tiniest fraction of a bit.
"But you know, as a friend, which is even better, in my opinion." He smiled, though she saw it wasn't his usual vibrant, full-on sun smile.
"Yeah, cool. Let's do it."
They put in another 2 hours researching the market, designing the UI, and getting started on the wireframe and storyboard. The process frequently sent a frisson of excitement up Dimple's spine. This was her idea they were talking about implementing. In 6 weeks, it would be an actual thing out there in the world, about halfway to completion, not just an abstract concept. Key people would be looking at it, judging it. And if it passed muster, maybe Jenny Lind would want to work with her to finish it. It would go on to save lives. Finally, around 1 a.m., Dimple stood and stretched. "I think I should head back to my room. See you in the morning." Rishi stifled a yawn as he closed his laptop.
"Yeah, sounds good. Want me to swing by and pick you up?"
Dimple gathered her hair into a loose bun and looked down at her feet. "Might as well. We're going to the same place, right?"
Rishi. It shouldn't have. But it made Rishi's heart lift. When would he ever learn? "You're setting yourself up for heartbreak, Patel," he told himself. But no matter how true he knew that was, he couldn't stop the grin from spreading over his face.
Dimple. Dimple was so keyed up over all they'd accomplished, and, a tiny voice inside her said, from the fact that she and Rishi had a non-date that would let her see more of the comic book persona he liked to keep hidden, that she didn't even notice Celia until she'd taken off her shoes and climbed into bed. Celia sat on her bed, propped up against her pillows, staring at Dimple reproachfully. Her phone lay face down on her lap. "Oh, hey," Dimple said, suddenly remembering in a mild panic that she hadn't come up with any good responses. "What the heck happened at dinner?" Celia said, and it was more of a wail than an angry accusation. "I thought you guys would hit it off." Dimple sighed and climbed under the covers, turning on her left so she could face Celia. "That's what I hope, too, but I think your friends and I are just too different." She shrugged, like, c'est la vie. Celia didn't have to know how much Dimple had been hoping for some kind of olive branch, even though Dimple wasn't the one who'd done anything wrong. "And Rishi was kind of rude," Celia went on, fiddling with her phone. "What was his deal?" Dimple thought of how Rishi had stuck up for her over and over again, how he hadn't been the least bit cowed by the rude remarks or digs of the night. She felt anger flash through her. She always did find it easier to stick up for people other than herself. "Sorry, Celia, but you missed about 40 minutes of conversation while you and your grandma were bonding. Your friends deserved everything they got, and more. I mean, I know you think they're cool and they get you and whatever, but let's not try to force something that's never gonna happen." Celia raised her eyebrows like, "Wowza." "Fine." She picked up her phone, and there was a prickly silence in the room. Dimple pulled the covers around her shoulders. "But I still want to be your friend. I think we should still stick together and be each other's moral support. But maybe it's okay if we're not friends with each other's friends." Celia continued to surf for a moment. Then she set her phone down again and looked over at Dimple. There was a smile in her eyes. "I like that idea."
Rishi. The weekend came at a breathtaking pace. Dimple and Rishi had spent every day in between fine-tuning Dimple's initial wireframe prototype, making sure they were ready to begin working on the back end of things. Rishi loved the way she seemed lit from the inside when she talked about her plan for the app, how much she wanted her papa's approval. Whether she liked to admit it or not, her parents were important to her, and Rishi respected that. He combed his hair in the mirror, pulling his fingers through the floppy part Ashley Sternberger in eighth grade had once called adorable. She'd batted her baby blues at him while she said it, too, so Rishi knew it wasn't the kind of adorable you think your baby brother is. His gaze fell on the little Comic-Con flyer on the dresser, and he felt a strange warmth come to his cheeks when he remembered Dimple asking if she could come with him. She'd asked about his comics so many times now, and each time he'd deflected. The truth was, he'd love to show her. He'd seen the fire in her eyes when she talked about developing that app. He knew she'd understand exactly what Papa and Ma didn't. She'd get how it made him feel, how the characters became an extension of himself, how he could lose himself for hours as he sat there, hunched over a sheet, sketching in panels, watching the character slowly begin to blink and breathe and laugh and live. Rishi walked to his bag, and digging behind the paperbacks he'd brought with him, he reached to the thing he'd packed at the last minute, without really letting himself think about it. His sketch pad. He felt that sense of love and attachment and warm familiarity envelop him as he pulled it out. The cardboard cover was falling apart, and the pages were bent and soft from age, especially the ones in the front. It was like a flipbook of his talent. At the front were the sketches he'd done about 3 years ago, still a bit blocky and dull from their creator's lack of experience. As the months progressed, they'd morphed into something warm and alive, liquid and vibrant. He'd gotten pretty good at keeping his characters consistent, at developing their unique characteristics and his own style. He smiled at the iterations of Aditya as the months went on. Silly and inconsequential as all of this was, drawing had always been a tempering balm. Art was a way to quiet his brain and lose himself in a place where he didn't even really exist. Rishi slipped the sketch pad back into his bag and then slung the bag over his shoulder. Maybe going to Little Comic-Con later tonight wouldn't be the worst thing ever. He could figure out what people who went into this looking for careers as comic book artists actually did. His bet was that most of them ended up teaching in programs like this or working in advertising, neither of which appealed to him on any level. He wasn't going to lie, though, he thought, as he grabbed his dorm key and let the door shut behind him. The idea of Dimple Shah accompanying him to the con made it all that much more alluring. He had one more stop to make, and then he'd pick her up at her dorm room. The thought of seeing her again made his stomach flip in a very impractical way.
Dimple. What are you wearing? Celia said, from in front of the dresser slash vanity, where she just finished slathering foundation all over her face and neck with a sponge. Dimple looked up from her computer and shrugged. Jeans? Celia groaned and clutched at her hair before meticulously smoothing it back down. Popping on a black headband with a big glittery bow on it, she said, This is Little Comic-Con. I'm guessing people dress up in costumes, go all out? It was Friday night, and apparently the Aberzombies had invited her to some party. Dimple chewed on her lip. She hadn't even really thought of that. You think so? Celia began drawing on her face with what looked like a chubby brown crayon. Seeing Dimple's quizzical look, she said, Concealer. And yes, I definitely think so. Why don't you Google it? See what they've done in the past. The flyer says third annual, so I bet they have pictures online. Good idea. Dimple pulled up the website for the art department and groaned. Oh, no. She clicked from picture to picture. People didn't just go all out. They went freaking crazy. There was a write-up on a guy who'd actually built his own Iron Man costume out of junkyard parts and then spray-painted them an amazing iridescent pink. Another student made her own Predator costume, and it took her an entire year of hand-sewing everything. It was Oscar-worthy. Or, you know, whatever the award was for costumes. There were group costumes and costumes made out of interesting materials and eco-friendly costumes and glow-in-the-dark costumes. Dimple stared. Why the heck didn't Rishi tell me? Maybe he doesn't know. You should probably text him. Celia smoothed a mermaid-hued eyeshadow on her lids. It looked amazing with her hazel eyes. Even makeup-averse Dimple could appreciate that. She grabbed her phone. Did you know everyone is going to be wearing costumes? Really elaborate ones? Her phone beeped a few seconds later. Yeah, it's like Comic-Con, no? Only smaller? Dimple groaned. Did everyone know stuff like this, automatically? Her phone beeped again. But you don't have to dress up. You're my guest. Well, what are you going as? Aha, that's for me to know and you to find out. Dimple rolled her eyes. Great. She looked at Celia. Do you have anything in your closet I could wear that could pass as a costume? Celia had brought virtually everything from her closet back home. She was actually using part of Dimple's closet because all her stuff wouldn't fit. She made a face as she applied a pale gold lipstick using a brush. Who applied lipstick with a brush? No one Dimple knew. You can look. All I have is regular clothes, though. Who are you planning on going as? I don't know. Dimple threw her hands up. The only cartoon I even remember being interested in. She stopped, a thought forming. Celia, do you have anything green and long-sleeved? Celia set her lipstick and brush down and turned to her closet. After a second, she pulled out a long-sleeved hoodie with a zipper. What about this? Dimple smiled slowly. I think that'll do really well.
And can I borrow a short black skirt, too?
Chapter 21 Dimple. When Rishi knocked on her door at 7, Dimple wasn't even nervous. She knew her costume kicked butt. He stared at her for less than half a second before he grinned.
I love Daria. Right? She grinned back.
Celia had even helped her straighten her hair. It hung shiny and long well past her shoulders.
Who doesn't?
I think it would have worked better if Celia could have been here to be Quinn, though. Rishi laughed.
Oh, man. Where did you get those 90s combat boots, though?
His laughter faded as he saw that she was glaring at him.
Those are mine. I wear them sometimes. Oh, those are really great.
Dimple smiled. You don't have to pretend to like them. I like them, and I don't care that they're not in style or whatever.
So, are you who I think you are?
He did a little manly twirl.
Yep. Aditya, the sun god / superhero at your service.
That is so cool. Where the heck did you get that gutta? She closed the door behind her and they began walking together to the elevators.
Well, you might remember our old friend, Wanda. I went back there and told her the nature of my inquiry. It turns out her husband is quite the welder, so he helped me put this together out of some recycled metal parts in his shop, and I spent the afternoon painting on some of the finer details. Kevin Keogh, this dude I met before from the art department, was cool about letting me go down there and use some of their supplies when I told him what it was for.
That's awesome, Dimple said, looking him up and down in appreciation, while also not letting him see just how appreciative she was. He was wearing a tight-fitting kurta with his jeans, and every time he swung the gada, she could see his biceps flex through the flimsy material. Outside, the air was warmish in spite of the fog, with the faint tang of perfume and cologne as college students made their way off campus to various events. Dimple loved the buzz of energy, a slightly drunken, heady thing. The twinkle of city lights barely broke through the fog, making the air look just gold-hued enough to be magical. She inhaled deeply and sneezed. Stupid allergies.
God bless you, Rishi said.
Dimple arched an eyebrow.
Gods?
He nodded sagely.
As a Hindu, I'm a polytheist, as you well know.
Dimple laughed.
Yes, and I also know we still only say God, not gods. We still believe Brahma is the supreme creator.
Rishi smiled, a sneaky little thing that darted out before he could stop it.
You got me.
This is my version of microaggressing back on people.
Explain.
So, okay, this is how it works in the U.S., in the spring, we're constantly subjected to bunnies and eggs wherever we go, signifying Christ's resurrection. Then, right around October, we begin to see pine trees and nativity scenes and laughing fat white men everywhere. Christian iconography is all over the place, constantly in our faces, even in casual conversation. This is the Bible of comic book artists. He had a come-to-Jesus moment, all of that stuff. So this is my way of saying, hey, maybe I believe something a little different. And every time someone asks me why gods, I get to explain Hinduism. Dimple chewed on this, impressed in spite of herself. He actually had a valid point. Why was Christianity always the default?
Ah,
she nodded, pushing her glasses up on her nose. So what you're saying is you're like a Jehovah's Witness for our people.
Rishi's mouth twitched, but he nodded seriously.
Yes. Ganesha's Witness has a bit of a ring to it, don't you think?
They cut across the lawn and headed west, toward the building marked by a star on the little Comic-Con map Rishi was holding. In the distance, someone honked.
I can't tell if you're exceptionally eccentric or just really passionate about the cultural stuff, Dimple said after they'd walked a little ways in silence.
Rishi chuckled. My brother Ashish and I have had that conversation many times.
He said it lightly, but something hard and dark flickered beneath the surface. I don't know how I can explain it. It's just this need inside me. I guess I just feel it stronger than most people our age. I feel like I need to speak out, because if no one speaks out, if no one says, this is me, this is what I believe in...